Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, thank you for coming, Jesus. Thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you for coming and making a way back to the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and changing my life from the inside out. Lord, thank you that that's an opportunity to each and every one of us, for you to come, for you to bring us, as Jamie said, alive. And so, Lord, I just want to reiterate, I want to come alongside that prayer, Lord, that we would be a people that live alive, not just go through the motions, not just the ho-hum of life and paying bills. And no, we want to be a people that are fully alive, living. Living, because you've raised us from the dead. Maybe walk in that power, Lord. Walk in that identity. Walk in that truth. So, Lord, I just say amen to that. Lord, you are so good. Fill us up with your Spirit. Lead us to truth today and make us come alive more than we were when we came in here. And we all said together, amen to that. Can we give it up for the band here leading us this morning? Woo! Yeah. Love it, love it, love it. Hey, happy Memorial Day weekend. Man, y'all are a bunch of losers out here. Come on now. Did y'all hear what I said? Come on now. Now, we might be followers of Jesus. We're not lame, though. Come on. Who's got some things planned this weekend? Anything fun this weekend? Anybody? I'm not going to call on you. You can raise your hand. It's okay. Man, I hope that you have some fun things planned for this weekend. And here's my encouragement to you, and this has been on my heart. I think I'm actually going to speak on it a little bit on Father's Day, which is only a couple weeks away, ladies. But on Father's Day, I think I'm going to dig into this a little bit. Nathan Jackson, what's going on, man? That we need to be more purposed in celebrating and enjoying time with family and friends. Anybody else say, come on, preach, Derek. Like, so here's what I know is I oftentimes get so busy and I'm doing the thing, and sometimes we get so super spiritual that we miss out on the real spiritual things that God has us. And I think there's something sacred when we gather around a table and enjoy a meal with other people. Come on, right? And so I really want to encourage you this weekend, as we're gathering with friends and family, eating some hot dogs, you know, having some drinks and enjoying what God is doing, I want to encourage you that you are doing something that's sacred. And actually, what we're actually doing is we're getting a taste of heaven when we gather around a table. Because we see in the scriptures that there is going to be a feast in heaven that's going to be for all eternity, that we're going to enjoy the presence of one another and our King fully as we enjoy what he created for us to enjoy. Come on, somebody say, preach it all day long for that, right? And so I really want to encourage you, man, enjoy this weekend. Enjoy the gatherings that you have, and don't take them for granted, right? Now, as we enjoy this weekend, as we have this incredible summer, you know, beautiful sun and beautiful weather, I want to just to make sure that we all remember, though, why we have a day off on Monday, right? It's not just to go eat a hot dog on the lake, although that's great, amen to that, right? There's a reason why. Memorial Day is a really purposed holiday where we take a moment and we remember the men and women who have given their lives fully, have sacrificed their own breath, their own life, so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms of this nation, this great, incredible nation that God's placed us in, okay? So this morning, this is what I want to do. I want us to have just a moment of silence to remember those that have gone before us. And then I'm going to just thank God for the gift that we have in freedom. And I'm just going to invite you to just thank God with me after this moment of silence. So let's just remember those that have fallen, those that have gone ahead and given their lives so that we can be here in the United States of America with the freedoms that we have and the liberties that we have. So let's just take a moment of silence. Yeah, Lord, we don't want to take this for granted. I don't want to take this gathering for granted. There's many places around the world, friends, that can't gather together openly because of oppression from government or persecution. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are in a country that's free. And Lord, right now, we remember and we give honor and we thank those men and women who have given the ultimate price, their own lives, for our freedom, for the liberties of this country, so that we can be the land of the free. And Lord, we also just pray blessing over the family members that are still walking this earth, that have a void in their life, a gap in their life, that person, that man or woman who served, there's no longer. Lord, I pray blessing and peace over those families and honor over them. And Lord, we just thank you for the freedom that we have. May we not take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, man. It is so good to be with you. My name is Derek. If you haven't met me, I'm privileged and honored to be the pastor here. Today, we're going to continue into this idea or thinking about what does it look like for us to go into the world. Like this place, these four walls, this is not the end game to following Jesus, right? Like if this is the summation of my relationship with Jesus in an hour with y'all, like I'm see ya, peace out. Like that's not what I'm here for. This is meant to stir us up the faith, to encourage one another, to be in community, but we gather together in order to what? Scatter into the Tri-Cities. To scatter all over the world. This is what we gather for, to go. And so in this series, we've been looking at this incredible teaching that Jesus gave, this real short teaching. He said, as I was sent from the Father, now I am sending you. This is what he said after he was raised from the dead. As I was sent from the Father, now I'm sending you. And so we've been talking about what does it look like for us to go into the world? What does it look like to go into the schools? Which, by the way, it's over. Amen. Teachers, come on. Any teachers in here? Yes. Woo. Right? What's it look like for us to go into our workplace? What's it look like for us to lead organizations, to be part of the community, to be a political person? What's it look like as we go into the world to continue the ministry of Jesus on this earth? That's what we're looking at. This is the heart of the church that Jesus established. Now today I want to talk about something. I want to talk about our words. I want to talk about speaking life. Now, how many of you know there's some fake news out there? Come on, somebody say that, right? Fake news, all, especially if you get on social media, man, there's fake news everywhere. So be wise. Like don't repost something without checking. Just do your best just to do that, okay? But here's the thing, it's not just like political fake news. There's also like religious fake news. Are y'all aware of this? Like there's this, it's epidemic, man, all over the place. So here's one thing that I've seen on social media. And if you posted this, like there's no condemnation. Like God loves you. Just take it off after this. But one of these lines that we've sometimes gathered around, and this is the line. It says, preach the gospel everywhere. If necessary, use what? Words. And usually there's a dash in a St. Francis, this guy. Well, just two things for you. Number one, St. Francis never said that. No proof. Actually, most say, man, that was not the way he lived his life, actually. So, man, we got a source wrong. And secondly, that's not what I see in the life of Jesus. So although it sounds good, like I can just live my life and I never have to use my words, I can just, you know, sounds really good, but really is not what we read in the scriptures. Because what we see in the power of the scriptures is what Jesus shows. It's both the demonstration, the actions, right? Loving one another for sure, but it's coupled with words that the real power is. How many of you know that if I tell you a lot of things and I never act it out, man, it's worthless, right? But if I act out a bunch of things and I never tell you why I'm acting in a way, or I never actually speak life, it also doesn't carry as much weight. It's the combination of demonstration and proclamation that brings about power. This is how we go into the world. So today I want to talk about speaking life. And here's why I want to talk about it. Because our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. We see it from the very beginning of the scriptures, Genesis. How did God creatively create the earth? What power he used is what? His voice, his words. He spoke the world into existence. And here's the reality and the humbling thing is we are made in his image. And guess what you and I have? The creative power of speaking things into existence, of changing our atmosphere, of changing the culture, of changing the way that we live and the people around us. This is the power that each one of us have. The proverb writer, the smartest man or the wisest man to ever live, he said something interesting. He said that life and death are in the power. The power is in the tongue or in our words. This is what he said. Now just think about that. Like in the words that you say, in the words that you utter, there is life or death. Like we should think about that instead of flippantly talking like we almost always do. Now, Jesus recognized this, and so he spoke life in everything that he said. Now, I'm going to be in Matthew 10 or in chapter 9 today, so if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up. We're going to be in Matthew 9 and 10. If you don't have a Bible, they're back there on the table. You can grab one, keep it. But we see that Jesus was really purposed in his words. And so I'm going to start in a text that we've been in a few other weeks here. But it's going to be a launching pad for the day. So this is Matthew, the first gospel, towards the middle of your Bible. You know, go to the right until you find Jesus. And then, by the way, Jesus is in the Old Testament too. So we find the person Jesus in the New Testament from Nazareth. He's all throughout the Old Testament though. Thank you, Jesus. And Now we're going to be in verse 35. So chapter 9, verse 35 of Matthew. It says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages teaching. So he wasn't miming. He was teaching with his words, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Can we all just say proclaim? That was like not so great. Let's like proclaim means to like herald with conviction, with boldness. So can we say proclaim like we're actually proclaiming, proclaim? Can we do that? Proclaim, right? All right, proclaim. He said he's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease. So he's doing what? He's coupling demonstration of the kingdom of God, and he's also teaching with his what? Words, with his tongue, with his mouth. He's speaking, right? Now we have to understand, what is Jesus doing in this moment? It says that he is proclaiming, heralding, speaking with conviction, the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? It's literally translated good news. Anybody else need some good news in here today? Like, I need some good news, especially if you watch any, you know, cable news network. You need some good news, right? He said he came proclaiming good news about what? About the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? It is the rule and reign of God. Good news about the rule and reign of God coming to earth. What was he heralding? The king has come to make a way back to the Father. And in that message, it wasn't just the cross, although the cross is central to the gospel. This good news is much bigger than that. So Jesus, with the words that he spoke, look at what he said. He spoke truth. He spoke encouragement. He spoke about justice. He spoke about identity. Everything Jesus said was a proclamation about the kingdom of God. And you know what the kingdom of God is about? It's about the heart of the Father. Because in heaven, everything is aligned with God. Do you know that? How many of you know not everything on this earth is aligned with God, right? Everybody can say, yeah, I get that, Pastor. I've been here the first day. I get that, man. But what Jesus did, he stepped out of heaven, came to earth, and he began to proclaim what the Father's heart is in heaven, and he begins to demonstrate it and proclaim it here on this earth. This is what it looks like for you and I to go to our workplaces. This is what it looks like for you and I to go to our neighborhoods. This is what it looks like for us to go and enjoy a meal together with people, whether they're a follower of Jesus or not. We demonstrate, but we also proclaim. Now here's the challenge for us, though, is if you're like me, not always does life flow out of my mouth. And this is the tension that we have as Jesus followers, that man, Jesus spoke life, and Derek, you can tell me 10 messages in a row to speak life, but there's moments when, man, death comes up out of me and overflows on my spouse, on my kids, on my coworkers. And so we live in this dynamic tension of the already and not yet. Like, we live in this tension. And this is what the writer James talks about. You don't have to turn there. I'm gonna read this. And this is what James says. And I think many of us can resonate with this. This is what James says in chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. He says this. He says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. He says, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So I think if we're honest, all of us can resonate a little bit with what James is saying. Number one is you cannot tame your tongue. Sorry about the depressing sermon. You can't do it. Like, we can tame all kinds of animals. We can get horses to do what we want them to do. We can teach birds how to come and land on a, you know, on a leather glove. We can do all that stuff. But he says you cannot tame the tongue, because what he says is what happens one day. We're praising God. We're worshiping God in the moment. We're like, man, God, you came. You came. You made me alive. And then we get in the car, shut the door, and we start blowing up our spouse. Or we start speaking death over our kids. Or Monday rolls around and we get, you know, ticked off at somebody at work, and we just let everything fly. And the same mouth that was praising God one moment is now cursing those that are made in his image. Anybody else resonate with that? Man, it's this tension that we live in the kingdom. And it's just hard. It's hard. It's a reality in our life. But what's interesting here is James says this is what we experience. And And I think two ways, as I look at this, there's two things that really stood out to me of how do we do this? How do we curse? How do we do that? There's two ways that I think impact every single one of us. Number one is face-to-face, we curse. And I'm going to tell you, the person that you probably curse the most is the person where you get up out of your bed and look in the mirror and you start saying things over your life. I'm not good enough. Man, I meant to lose 5 pounds last week, but I gained two. I'm not attractive. Nobody wants me. I can't go into this meeting today because I know I'm going to fail. We speak death so quickly over ourselves. And what are we doing? We're just siding with the enemy. We're speaking from the pit of hell, and we don't even recognize it. We're speaking death, speaking death, speaking death. And what James would tell you, man, that ought not to be the way you speak about yourself. But not only do we speak about ourselves that way, we also speak about those that are closest in our life with that. And I can tell you, as a husband, and as a husband who's got it wrong for a lot of years, and I know I'm a work in process. My wife was here, she'd be amen in that, right? Not arrived. But I can tell you, for a big chunk of our marriage, man, I spoke in such a condemning way towards my wife. Like, she would have a fear or a concern, and, you know, that's not how I'm wired. I don't think about those. I'm always like, let's take the hill, let's win, let's conquer. You know, just let those people fall away, let's go. And she's like, well, how about this person? And I would say, man, why are you worried about that? Don't. And so what was I doing? I was projecting how God made me onto her, and that's not right. And in doing so, what was I doing? I was cursing the one that he gave me to love. That woman that I was so in love with, and I couldn't say anything wrong when I was talking 2 hours on the phone and fall asleep talking to. It's weird, by the way, but I would do it. A year in, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you can easily find yourself cursing the person that God's given you to love. And speaking death. And actually what happened to my wife is a couple years into our marriage, she was just a shell of who she was. Because what? Our words carry power. Our words carry power. There's weight. And James says that ought not to be the case, guys. Don't use them to curse. Use them to bless. So not only is it face to face, but I'll tell you what is crushing culture in organizations all over the city, all over the world, crushing schools, businesses, and even churches, is this incredible word that the scriptures talk about a whole lot, and that's gossip. Gossip. What is gossip? It's opposing God's view of a person when they're not there. At the end of the day, that's what it is. And I'll tell you, I had the privilege of gathering with pastors from all around the country this last week. We had a group of about 12 of us, and it's kind of a retreat, kind of a time, and we would have a meal every night, and we would go around and share kind of what's something good happening in your life, what's something hard. And I can't tell you how crushed I was seeing these, you know, men, these man's men at this table sharing with tears about the destruction in their own church over gossip. People talking about them, talking about their wives, or people in their own church talking about one another. And I'm going to tell you, that kind of thing brings death to any organization. It brings death to your community. It brings death to your workplace. It'll bring death here if we allow it, right? And so I want to encourage you a couple things here. Number one is gossip. It requires two people. It requires somebody to be speaking from the pit of hell, which is what we're doing, by the way. But it also requires somebody who has tingling ears that want to hear it. So as we go into the world, here's what you and I can do. And this takes zero skill, okay? This just takes a little desire. Is when we're in a place, when we're at the, you know, the watering hole, trough, what it, fountain, I guess you call it. I don't know what it is. But wherever, when you're there, or you're in the lunchroom, or you're in the control room, and or you're in a small group, and people begin to talk about somebody who's not there, and it's not honoring to God or that person, guess what you can do? You can say, hey, would you stop talking about that person? Or you can say, hey, why don't you go talk to that person in person? It's a good way to shut things down real quick. Or just remove yourself from it. And here's what you'll do in your community. You'll actually be a person that initiates life, because you'll be stepping away from death in your community, in your culture, but also in your own life. See, James says, listen, it ought not to be so. Don't praise God one moment and then go curse somebody, whether it's behind their back or to their front. He says, don't do it. But here's the challenge, is you cannot change your tongue. Like, literally, the words that come out of your mouth, they don't have a thought. Your tongue doesn't have a brain. It's only connected to what's going on here. This is what Jesus said. He says, out of the abundance of your what? Your heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Do you know what that means? That means you cannot stop your tongue from speaking ill. You can't stop your tongue from cursing. The only hope that you have is that your heart would be transformed. The only chance. every one of us in this room, is for our heart to be transformed. And so the question today, if we're going to be speaking life, is how do we allow our heart to be transformed? And thankfully, Jesus modeled this really well. He modeled this beautifully. So Jesus, everything that he did out of connection with the Father. I think it's John 12. I think it is. Jesus said this incredible thing. He says, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So this man, Jesus, that we follow, everything he said was life-giving. And what he says is everything that he said was not on his own, but was actually rooted in what the Father said. Everything Jesus said, he says he submits himself fully to the Father. And so what Jesus says is coming from the Father himself. And what Jesus modeled is how do we speak life as we stay connected to the Father? See, Jesus would oftentimes remove himself from a large gathering where everybody's hitting on the back. Man, that was so good, Jesus. Or they try to kill him. You know, it's one or the other crowd for Jesus. It's one or the other, you know. And he would remove himself from the crowd and he would go up on a mountain by himself. Just him and the Father. And what was he doing? He was connecting to the Father. And that solitude, those moments with just him and the Father, with nobody else looking, nobody else around, it carried him so that when he gained what he had in the private, he would then take it down into the public so that when he was with a group of people, guess what? He knew the Father's voice because he had already met with him. He knew him. And so when he was with a bunch of people, he could speak out what the Father was saying. This is what we see Jesus modeling, being connected to God so that we can speak life as we go. Right? So how do we stay connected to God? This is what I love, because what we see in Jesus is a modeling of a spiritual discipline of just connecting with the Lord. And we can do this a lot of different ways. Reading the scripture is a great way. Praying is a great way. Community, solitude, all these are great ways. But here's the thing, is you can do all those things because I told you, and it can be completely dead to you. You can read the Bible from cover to cover in a year, and you could get a sticker, gold star. And you could still miss Jesus. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You guys study all the time about this Messiah, and he's in your midst, but you're missing him. You see, I don't want you to go out and have a time with the Lord just because I told you to. What if our desire is that we want to go with Jesus into our workplaces and to go with Jesus to speak life? We actually read our Bible because we want to get to know God, not to just check off a box. Like, I want to read the scriptures so that I can know what is God's heart for me. And then what is God's heart for my enemy? Oh, that's a tough devotional in the morning. And then when we prayed, we didn't just tell God what we need. We actually begin to ask God some questions about what he wants to say to us. See, in doing so, we are connecting with God. And as we're connecting with God, our hearts are transformed. And guess what comes out of our mouth? Transformational, life-giving words. This is what it looks like to speak live. This is what we see in the scripture. And so in your notes, this is the last couple of things I want you to write down here today is these three things. That if the goal is, like Jesus, to align our words with heaven, which, by the way, is where the Father's heart fully is expressed in heaven right now. It'll someday be on the new earth completely. But right now, heaven is where the Father's will is completely played out. Our goal is to align with heaven when we speak. And so here's three things. Number one is we got to grow in awareness of God. Recognize him speaking. Recognize him leading us. Recognize him showing us things. Because we can't speak what God is speaking, and we can't do what God is doing if we don't actually see or hear God. So the first step is we got to grow in awareness of who God is and what he is doing. The second thing is we got to ask him. Ask him. What does the scripture say? You don't have because what? Everybody knows it. Because you don't ask. And so I think the simplicity of how do we have our hearts transformed? How do we begin to be a people that speak what heaven is saying? How do we do that? Is that we are aware of God, and then that awareness then leads us to ask God, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? And I just want to show you just real candidly just how this looks in my life. And hopefully maybe a handful of people will take this and run with it. I do journal, and I write down questions, I write down scriptures, and yes, I still have my man card, if you're asking. Come on now. I don't even lock it, so anybody can look at it. And so this is from, I think, Tuesday. So here's how this looks like. So I'm praying, I'm asking God, what do you say about me? Which is always a question we should open the day of. God, what do you say about me? Instead of cursing the person in the mirror, man, the first thing I should say is, God, what do you say about me? What's true about my identity in Christ? So I started there and I just wrote some things down, and then I pictured Jesus, and then I asked him, I said, God, what are you speaking over my family? And then I just wrote my wife's name down here, and I just wrote down what I felt like God was saying over Kate. And then I went down one by one with my son, Jace, and my daughter, Jesslyn, and our little one, Jet. And then I just said, God, what are you praying over Christ Fellowship? You know, he has some thoughts towards us as a church. He's interceding for us. I said, God, what are you praying? Because I want to pray the prayers that you're praying, Jesus. I want to speak your thoughts over our church. And so I began to pray. And so this is literally what it looks like, is we grow in awareness of God, and then we ask him some questions. And I can tell you that this idea of asking, it'll change your marriage. You know, some of you have been in my office where I've met you downtown, and you've having some marital issues like we all have, by the way, sometimes. There's no shame in that. It's just the reality of two sinners being put in the close confines. You're going to get things jacked up sometimes, right? And so some of you have been in my office, and if you ever in the future, one of our pastors will meet with you. It's one of the things we do is we want to make sure that we're asking God what he thinks about our spouse. So one of the things I'll do with couples is I'll just have some time of prayer where we just ask God, what do you say about my wife? God, what do you say about my husband? And I have them write it down. And then I have them share it. And I'll tell you, oftentimes there are tears rushing because one or the other has been living under lies, has been living under curses. And for to hear their loved one share with them what's true in heaven, here on earth, is a game changer for a marriage. And here's the good news. You don't have to come to my office to do that. Like this weekend, I'm going to tell you, if you want some brownie points, man, just grab your wife and say, hey, babe, it sounds kind of weird. I know we don't pray a lot together, but like, I want to speak life over you. What if we sat down and we just asked God what he's saying over each other? And we began to speak those words of life instead of curses, instead of death. We began to speak life. It would change your marriage, for sure. Now, the third one is that we don't just grow awareness of God. We don't just ask God, but then we actually act on what God says. We actually speak it out. We actually do what we hear him saying. I told you I spent some time with some pastors this week, and I had to take a couple flights to get there. And so on my way back Friday, I was on my first leg of my flight. We landed at the airport. I was sitting on the aisle because I had asked God for that aisle seat. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't want to be in that middle. You guys know it, right? I don't want to be in that middle seat in that long flight. And there was a girl across from the aisle that I didn't talk to. I had my earbuds in. I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody right now. I'm just trying to get home to my family. And we're taxiing as we come into the airport, and we're taxiing, and she sees I'm getting ready. She says, excuse me. And I say, yeah. And she's this sweet young college girl. And she says, well, I was sitting here and I was worshiping God and I was praying. And as I was praying and worshiping, I noticed that you were preparing for a message. I'm guessing it's a sermon. And I said, yeah, you're right. I'm going to be preaching this Sunday. And then she began to speak out what she felt like God was telling her about me. You know what that's called? That's called prophecy. What is prophecy? It's speaking God's heart. And she began to share with me some incredible encouragement that resonated deeply in my soul. Now, was she a full-time minister? Heck no. She was a college student on an airplane who was listening to God and speaking life, and it greatly impacted me. See, this is the potential that each one of us has as we go into the world, that we would change the atmosphere, that we would change the culture, that we wouldn't be the ones that speak death, that we wouldn't speak death face-to-face or gossip, that we would be a people that actually speak life, that have an ear towards heaven and a willingness to share what we hear the Father saying. See, it changes everything. Imagine that in your home. Imagine that kind of living in your workplace. It's only possible if we're connected to the Father, filled up with the Spirit, and willing to share what we hear. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing one last song together. Lord, thank you so much for the truth that you've shown us in Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, I thank you that you model for us what it looks like to be connected to the Father through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just confess right now that we say things that are oftentimes not aligned with heaven, that we speak death over our spouses, over our friends, over our kids, over our coworkers. And Lord, we just want to be a people that when we recognize that, we gladly ask you to forgive us because you're faithful and just to remove all sin from our lives. That you don't have us walk in guilt and shame. You actually forgive us. You wipe it away. You cut it off from us. I thank you for that. But Lord, I don't want to be a man that continues to operate in that cycle. I want to be a man that's yielded to your spirit, connected to the Father so that I can speak life over my bride, over my kids, over this church, over our community. Lord, that's what I want as we go into the world, that we would be a people that speak differently, that we would be a people that speak with power and authority that comes from heaven, life and truth and hope, grace and love. Lord, fill us with your spirit even now so that we can be a different maker as we go into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this last song together.